You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Tuesday, the 24th of January. We're talking Cardinals baseball today with Jennifer Langosch, our Cardinals reporter. And Jen, we thank you as always for the time. And you never want to start any podcast or discussion on a down note, but unfortunately, the baseball world reeling from not just one, but two deaths as the result of auto accidents in the Dominican Republic over the weekend. Of course, talking about Yordano Ventura and former big leaguer Andy Marte. And Jen, with regards to Ventura, I know that he was close for a long time, since childhood, I believe, with Oscar Tavares, who, of course, passed away back in 2014. And we remember the tribute that Ventura paid to Tavares on his cap and on his shoes during the World Series that year. He pitched a lights-out game in Game 6 against the Giants. The entire world saw it. So it's just the parallels here are really striking and obviously tragic. And I got to think that Ventura's death really reverberated within the Cardinals organization, given what happened to Oscar Tavares a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the Cardinals do know this all too well. I mean, you know, not just Oscar Tavares' death in 2014, but this is an organization that since 2002 has lost three players, two of those being in car accidents, both Josh Hancock and Oscar Tavares. And you're right, that image of Yordano Ventura pitching in the World Series, and that was the first thing I thought of when I saw the news on Sunday about what had happened to him in the Dominican. And I mean, the kid pitching the game of his life under those circumstances, trying to channel his grief into excellence. It was a very poignant moment to see him that night. And as you mentioned, just the tragic symmetry now that we see here. And you look at Oscar's death and Jose Fernandez's death a couple months ago, and now the loss of Yordano Ventura and Andy Marte. And baseball has lost some very exciting young talent there. And I know the Cardinals, you know, in many ways are still reeling from the tragedy. Not, you know, certainly there were effects on the baseball side, and I think those are going to be felt for a long time. But on the personal side, and how this affected in particular a guy like Carlos Martinez, whose life has dramatically changed since losing his friend, and some of the different issues that the Cardinals have tried to address about drinking and driving and talking to their Dominican players specifically about the perils of going back home in the off season and trying to make good decisions and this idea that you're not invincible. I think these are issues, you know, that certainly have been addressed within the Cardinals organization, and now I would expect are probably going to be addressed on a more broader scope within Major League Baseball again, in light of a couple of these tragedies happening in recent years.
Yeah, it's just, it's awful. It's just to wake up to that sort of news, for the second time in a span of a couple of months. You brought up Jose Fernandez. The circumstance is different, but again, a young Dominican pitcher with a world of talent taken from us way too soon. And you mentioned that, the Cardinals, and I would think other teams are going to follow their lead and tell their young Dominican players, and this is something I wasn't aware of until some details came out about Ventura's death, is that I understand now that driving conditions in general in the Dominican are just deplorable. And is that something that you think other teams are going to address with their players? Like you said, no matter how young and talented and wealthy you may be, no one's invincible, as we've seen now twice with Oscar Tavares and Yordano Ventura. Do you feel that whereas maybe Tavares' death was seen as an isolated incident, now with what happened to Ventura, could this be something of a wake-up call for teams and for younger players?
You know, you sure hope so. I mean, you hate that it has to come to tragedy to kind of shake some of these players to the core, but you know, you do hope that there is some good that can come of this. I'll never forget one of the things General Manager John Mozeliak of the Cardinals said shortly after the Tavares tragedy was this idea that cars that are built, you know, for the U.S., very nice, fancy sports cars that a lot of these players purchase upon making it to the majors and getting their big payday, a lot of them bring those back to the Dominican where the roads just can't handle those kinds of vehicles. I mean, you're talking about roads that are littered with potholes. You're talking about a system of driving that, you know, essentially has no rules to it. There's motorcycles, there's trucks, and it's kind of a free-for-all for those who have been there, know what I'm speaking of, on the roads. And then to implement these sports cars, these fast sports cars on these curvy, unpaved roads, they just don't belong. And it's really, you know, as Mozeliak put it, a recipe for trouble. And the way the Cardinals, you know, they can't police their players during the off season. They can't force them to stay in the United States to work out from November through January. They've encouraged a lot of them too, Carlos Martinez being one of them. They've encouraged him to stay in Jupiter at their facility as much as possible to try to take away maybe some of those temptations. But, you know, ultimately it's going to come down to the personal responsibility of these players and making better decisions. And, you know, to circle back to your question, you know, you do hope that as the players look at now multiple deaths due to accidents in the Dominican, that they do a little bit of self-introspection and think about the decisions, realize their consequences to them. And while we all maybe thought we were invincible in our early 20s, you know, unfortunately, some poor decisions or mistakes that can be made can have really, really tragic consequences.
Yeah, and I think we can all agree that we've had enough of this news to last us a long, long time, and that the next time we discuss a young up-and-coming phenom, a pitcher from the Dominican, we want to be talking about fastballs and not funerals. This is just news that really hits you hard, no matter what team you root for. As plenty of players have said, baseball is a fraternity amongst all the players, amongst all 30 teams. And like I said, let's hope that we don't have to discuss news of this nature for quite some time. Jen, moving on, the Hall of Fame vote obviously came about last week, and former Cardinals closer Lee Smith falls short. And what was his 15th and final year on the ballot, he will now go to the Veterans Committee to get another shot, hopefully, at getting into the Hall of Fame. But, Jen, how do you best explain why a guy who was so dominant for so many years could never really seem to just win the sway of the baseball writers now for 15 times in a row? I never quite understood it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You look at his first year of eligibility, which was, I believe, 2003, he received about 42% of the vote. This is a guy who, in 1993, set the all-time save record, which held for 13 years, and that was 478 career saves. And his support did climb all the way up to 50% in 2012. And then I think what really hurt him is it was right around that time that we started getting this crowded ballot because of all the issues surrounding voters not knowing or not believing that they should vote for some of the guys connected to PEDs. And all these issues have created what, you know, many call it a crowded ballot where, you know, I can cast my 10 votes, but maybe there are 14 players I would really like to vote for, but you can only check 10 boxes. And I think for Lee Smith, he kind of got lost in all of that for whatever reason. I also wonder, too, you know, the save stat is one that in recent years has been discussed. Maybe it doesn't carry as much weight as it used to in decades before, so that might not have helped him with some of the new age voters that are now casting ballots. I do think, though, that now is that his candidacy will pass to the Veterans Committee, I would expect him to get a very, very good look there and potentially eventually be named to the Hall of Fame. But certainly disappointing that, again, after kind of reaching that 50% threshold a few years ago, the support really dropped off in these last couple years. And as you mentioned, now he falls off the ballot.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, guys like, Goose Gossage and Raleigh Fingers, you know, they have the numbers that are, you know, as good. Maybe Lee Smith's are even a little bit better than those guys, and both of them are in the Hall of Fame. So maybe Lee Smith's day is going to come one of these years. Unfortunately, 2017 was not the year for him, but the numbers certainly bear consideration for years down the road. Jen, a guy that, whenever he decides to hang it up, will definitely be considered for Hall of Fame election will be Matt Holliday. And recently, there was a kind of a poll put out to you and the other 29 beat reporters for MLB.com about the best free agent signing in your team's history. Your choice was Matt Holliday, who obviously is no longer a Cardinal. He signs with the Yankees in the offseason. But, Jen, make your case for Matt Holliday and give me one or two other guys that were kind of in your running behind him.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Holliday was first of all, unique in that he was the first and still the only player to sign a deal of $100 million or more as a free agent with the Cardinals. And, I think what made him even more unique in the baseball landscape was that he lived up to that deal. I mean, how often are we talking about these excessive contracts that by the end become an albatross to the team that holds them? That wasn't the case with Matt Holliday. Now, his last 2 years were littered with injury issues that took him off the field. But you look at his production there from 2010, to 2015, and he was among the most consistent and productive players in the game. Actually, for those 5 years, the only player that had 20 home runs, 30 doubles, and 75 RBI in each of those seasons. So it was the unique kind of win-win contract of that length and of that much value. And then you add in the fact that he was able to help this team to a world championship in 2011 and was a big part of all these deep playoff runs that this club has made in recent years. He was a linchpin in that three-hole once Albert Pujols left for Anaheim. So kind of an easy choice there. I will say, though, that the other obvious choice would have been Chris Carpenter, and he probably would have gotten my nod had the rules of our survey not stipulated that it had to be a free agent who signed a multi-year deal. And if you remember, Chris Carpenter came over to the Cardinals initially on a one-year deal worth only $300,000. You think about how good that paid off, and then from there signed some extensions to stay. So he didn't qualify for this particular poll, but as you look at what Chris Carpenter did, leading this team to both the 2006-2011 championships, winning a Cy Young Award, finishing top three in the voting two other times, I think you can make a strong argument that he, too, was a great find for the Cardinals in the free agent market. And kind of wrapping up my honorable mentions there, Jason Isringhausen, the all-time franchise saves leader, made my list as somebody to consider. Bob Tewksbury was on that list. And Mike Matheny, a four-time Gold Glove catcher, now manager, was also a free agent signing for the Cardinals back in the day.
Yeah, hard to go wrong with any of those names. And while, you know, Holiday gets the nod, given the parameters of the voting that you had to adhere to, I think we can agree that the best bargain, clearly, was Chris Carpenter. As you mentioned, $300K. All he gave you for that was, a 2006 title and then one again in 2011. He'd been signed to an extension by that point, obviously, but at first, to get a guy on the cheap for what he gave you, quite a bargain indeed. So, Jen Langosh, great stuff as always. We'll do it again at this time next week for sure. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.